And we got a full compliment.
Eric's working.
We're going to start the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council meeting. And I'd like to have Dennis Hahn please lead us in. Dick Hahn.
Dave?
Oh, here it is. Anyway, I'll get my name squared away in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Shall I bring it out?
Go ahead. Go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Who's putt?
You said Dave, right?
Dan, Eric, and Richard.
Oh, man, okay.
Is that everybody here? Mario's here.
Give me a beer. It's been a long day. Okay, now we've got that squared away. Let's get the call to our Pledge of Allegiance. And let's do the roll call.
All right. Mr. David.
Here.
Mr. Duane.
Present.
Mr. Hahn.
Present.
Mr. Lundberg.
Here.
Mr. McDonald.
Here.
Mr. Munoz.
Here.
Mr. Rapp.
Here.
Mr. Soffman.
Here. Set.
Mr. Speaker, or Mr. Chairman, we have four.
Very good. Thank you. On your agenda, it says guest speaker, but what we decided to do, so we need to get a guest speaker. What we thought we would do is come in and ask, Mr. Eric Inslee to talk a little bit about the paid Veterans Work Study Program.
Okay.
All right. Sir, so the floor is yours.
Thank you, sir. So I passed this out the last time we gathered together in regards to our office seeking a recruitment for work studies in our program. We are an approved site for VA, and I am the site supervisor with Eddie Falcon as the alternate supervisor for that program. One of the things I'm asking of all of you in this body is to get the word out and talk about what we can do. My experience with work studies, they greatly enhance the Veterans Service Office to help with a lot of the ancillary processing of veterans and their families seeking entitlement to benefits through this office and anything else, and offering some of their personal guidance as well. Just to go over some of the highlights, anyone who is receiving any type of allowance and eligibility for a VA educational program is eligible, including their dependents under Chapter 35. The number of hours, we don't have a set limit in our office for the number of hours, but we're asking that people are able to commit to a minimum of 20 hours a week as their school schedules dictate. What people can earn, I think on the flyer it says $11, which I think is right around where the minimum wage rate for this area is. Some other factors: disabled students, students with a disability or disabled condition do have priority. Folks who are 30% service connected and above will have the highest priority to get access to that benefit.
30%?
30%.
Okay.
So looking at anything else with VA, priority ratings do play a factor. But again, my experience with the work studies is that once they've actually sat down with a VA voc rehab person or VA educational specialists at the campuses, and they submit the application for it. Once they get that application and it's approved by VA, they can begin start working right away. I do have a job description for the work study applicant. I think if anybody wants a copy, I can send a copy of that electronically. It's a little extensive. It has a little bit more detail into it. What we expect to happen in this office based on our throughput on a regular basis. So, if anybody have any questions, I think our number's on the flyer. Contacting Veronica Molina. She is actually going to be the volunteer coordinator and work study coordinator. But once she receives them and forward their application and resume to me, then we'll screen and I'll do a cursory interview with them before bringing them on. Mm-hmm.
Any questions from the group?
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Okay, well,
I was considered 12 units or more. 3/4 time would be
nine. And I think what, as they're sitting down with the EA representative on campus, I think they're pushing as far as 8 hours. I'm not sure.
Okay.
And that's something we didn't.
Mario, that depends on what kind of program. If they're in grad school, 9 is full time.
Correct.
Or the quarter is four. So,
so the best thing is to check in with the VA person on campus to see where they are, submit their application, and once they are interested in our particular location, we'll forward that on to the VA. The biggest part is just getting them approved by VA in Muskogee, and then we'll take care of the rest, including their hours.
There's no further questions. I'm going to announce once again, if anybody out there wants to be in public comments, want to speak, there's a sheet over there. Please fill it out. And I guess while I'm speaking, you can get it to Eric here. But I'm getting ready to go into public comments now. So if you want to speak, there's a form over there you need to fill out. All right. This agenda contains a brief description of each item to be considered, except as provided by law. No action shall be taken on any item not appearing on the agenda. To speak on an item, complete a speaker request form identifying the items and deposit it in the box on the chairman's desk. When addressing the council, it is requested that you state your name for the record. Address the council as a whole through the chairman, and comments to individual members or staff are not permitted. Speakers are limited to 3 minutes. Okay. First speaker will be Christopher Aguilera.
Good evening, Honorable Chairperson.
Thank you, sir.
My name is Christopher. I'm a field rep for Sarah Cork Silva. She's the rep for the 65th Assembly District in North Orange County. And the purpose of my communication this evening regards her bill AB 368, the Southern California Veterans Cemetery. And so I wanted to provide the council a update regarding this bill. And so in 2014 to 2016, excuse me, in 2012 to 2014, Assemblywoman Cork Silva got AB 1453 passed, which was supposed to bring Southern California Veterans Cemetery to the Marine Corps El Toro base facility known as ARDA, the amended and restated development agreement site in the Orange County Great Park in the city of Irvine. And people around here are probably aware of what happened with Measure B last year. I believe in June of 2018, that measure was shot down. And so pretty much had to go start from square one again. And so AB 368 is a bill that states that Big Parkway site, the Strawberry Fields, is no longer going to be the area where the cemetery. AB 368 states that it will now be the original site. And so right now, currently, there was a hearing by the Assembly Committee on the Veterans Affairs on April 9th that states the first summary is amend statute requiring California Department of Veterans Affairs develop a Southern California Veterans Cemetery at the 125-acre plot. And jumping to the main, one of the issues with the bill is that it's going to be very expensive to clean up the runway. And so in the Assembly Committee on Veterans Affairs, it suggests an estimated cost of about $91 million. On April 24th, the Assembly Committee on Appropriations held a hearing on AB 368. The update I have from my chain of command regarding this is that an appropriations rule states that any expenditure greater than $150,000 by the legislature needs to be confirmed at a different hearing, which is going to be taken up around May 16th. If you go on the Assembly Appropriation Committee's website right now, their next hearing, I believe, may have been today, May 6th. So this one's coming up pretty soon. It's going to be a one-time CalVet cost of about $100,000 from the general fund, and increased one-time costs likely in the tens of millions of dollars. And so I was able to give an update to the Orange County Veterans Memorial Parkway, I believe it's Bill Cook's group. last week at Congressman Correa's office, and so I was able to tell them that it's possible to have individual people let the Assembly Appropriations Committee be aware of their individual feelings regarding AB 368, because it's going to be a big budget ask, essentially. And so you could go, an individual could go to the Assembly Appropriations website, create a login profile, and then they can submit individual support letters to the Assembly Appropriations Committee. And I can get all of this in an email to Bobby for his review tomorrow, and provide the council an update regarding AB 368. Whenever there is an update, I will provide it to you. And that's all. Is there any questions?
Thank you. Well, you're not doing public comments. We can't take questions.
Thanks,
but
sir.
If somebody wants to talk to you afterwards, they can.
Thanks, sir.
Okay. Next up is Michelle Jablonski, Grand Canyon University.
As I said, my name is Michelle Jablonski. Thank you guys for having me speak here. Just wanted to give you guys a quick update on some of the benefits that we've recently added for veterans based on feedback we've gotten and employers' need for different job opportunities. So we've revamped our emergency management and public safety into one degree, making it more transfer-friendly for our veteran population. We do accept the military transcripts into this program. Any certification, so EMT, Police Academy, that's all transferred in. We do a free evaluation. If it's a veteran, they get their 10% scholarship that is extendable to spouses and dependents using benefits. On the cybersecurity side, we've added a complete program in cybersecurity. Revamped it from IT, so it's more transfer-friendly again. And it's also available for graduate studies, so if somebody wants to transition into this, like a new role for government. And then we do offer opportunities if someone's interested in learning more, where we come to you guys to provide you a lunch and learn to give you more information on how we can help support you and your local veterans. That's all.
Thank you. Thank you. Next up is Tom Boskamp.
Hello, Chairman, Council. Just a couple of things. Tom Boskamp from Coastline College. And I wanted to announce a barbecue that we have the Friday before Memorial Day. Congressman Correa will be there. VA Suicide Prevention will have a table. The Collaborative will have a table. Lots of resources, so it's not just a barbecue. It's a place for community veterans, not just state veterans. So about Coastline, we have two veteran resource centers presently, and we are opening a third at the end of the summer in Garden Grove. Currently, we have Fountain Valley and Newport Beach, and we accept community veterans, not just student veterans, in our veteran resource center. So anytime that you have veterans in need of our food pantry or any of the resources that we offer, please send them our way. That is it.
What's that date?
The barbecue date?
The date of the barbecue?
It is the 24th.
Thank you.
11.
Thank you. Oh, here we go. That's all I need.
Next up is Chase Wickersham.
Chase. Returns to the scene.
Oh, yeah.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I've been on this council. My name is Chase Wickersham, but I've been on this council now for 7 years. And back in January, my appointment expired. And I tried to figure out what was going on. And finally, on March 15th, I was told that somebody would be appointed to the position. I said, fine, and I resigned. I want to take a few minutes to give you some ideas and some comments about the council, what we've accomplished in 7 years, and also what I think the potential for the future is for this council. I'm sure all of you joined this for the same reasons I did. I'm a combat veteran from supervisor, and I asked him, what did you think about me joining the Orange County Veteran Advisory Council? He said, why would you want to do that? It's a bunch of old men that do nothing but complain and get nothing done. And I said, well, maybe you've got the wrong people on it. Bobby and I joined at about the same time. We tried to get some things accomplished within the community in order to help veterans. We all joined this in order to help veterans, right? And it's a small group of leaders in this community that serve veterans. And you guys represent 115,000 veterans. And it's really important that I think you understand the history of what we tried to accomplish and also where those leaders are. And one of the things I want to mention, I'll mention three things. First of all, the Orange County Veteran and Military Family Collaborative. We didn't have a collaborative 5 years ago. LA had a collaborative, San Diego had a collaborative. We said, why don't we have a collaborative in Orange County? We were actually instrumental in getting that first meeting going. We were told 20 people would show up, because that's usually who showed up for our meetings. And we had over 100 people show up, 60 agencies we identified were trying to serve veterans in Orange County, and nobody knew it. Today, the collaborative has 103 public and private agencies that serve veterans, and it's a critical organization for communication among the agencies that serve veterans. You may not have known it, but today was the quarterly meeting for the collaborative. It was at UCI. We had 150 people show up. Three members of the council were there, Bobby, Greg, and Carl. I would hope the rest of you would try to come to some of those meetings. The people that are at those meetings are the leaders that serve our veterans. Those are the people you need to know in order to refer veterans that are complaining to you about services so you can get things done. And the place to meet them is at a collaborative meeting. The collaborative is critical. Number two, Bobby had contacts in Los Angeles, and we started meeting yearly with the Los Angeles Veteran Advisory Commission at the Long Beach VA. Why the Long Beach VA? It's not even in Orange County. Well, obviously, the Long Beach VA is critical to serving our veterans, and we had no contacts within the Long Beach VA at that time. We didn't have any visibility at all, zero. They treated Orange County like it was an afterthought. It was Long Beach and LA that was important. That meeting is critical. You're going to have to fight to keep that meeting going in the future. Because that meeting gives you an opportunity to meet the key management people and staff people within the hospital, because that's how you solve problems. You don't solve problems from the bottom up. You solve problems from the top down. And today, we have a relationship with Walt Dannenberg, who's the director of the hospital, and his staff. And all of you have access to that staff in order to solve problems. And you're going to get calls from veterans saying, I got a problem with the VA hospital. What are you going to do? You know, you're going to tell them to go to the patient advocate? Yeah, that's great. Nothing ever happens. Nothing happens from the bottom up. It only works from the top down. And we have access to the 13th floor so that we can get things done immediately now. Last, the Orange County Veteran Advisory Council monthly meetings were always held in this room 7 years ago. And we would get 6, 7, 8 people to show up. Bobby and I and the rest of the council decided to have it in the district. We pushed it out into the district. It was not popular. But if you want people from South County to show up at a meeting, you got to have it in South County. If you want people in Brea to show up at a meeting, you got to have it in Brea. 3 months ago, I arranged a meeting in Huntington Beach. And I arranged it with the American Legion 133. He invited the mayor, he invited city council member. We were going to have 30 people at that meeting tonight. That meeting was canceled a few weeks ago. That's bullshit. That's a mistake. And you're going to have to fight, this council is going to have to fight to keep having these meetings out in the community, because that's where you're going to meet people. That's where you're going to have an impact. I want to, I don't know how much time I have, and I'm not used to talking for 3 minutes. But,
yeah, but you got a minute. You got a minute.
One of the things that I want to point out to you is that you have access to the leadership in this county in your role as a member of this council. Your business card is a ticket to get in front of the leaders of this community. The city leaders, they will talk to you because of your membership. The county leaders, because they'll talk to you because of your membership. And corporate leaders. It's critical that you use that opportunity. because, as I said before, you represent 115,000 veterans, and there's only a small group of us that are considered veteran leaders. And so I'm hoping you take advantage of it. I'm hoping you go out and you use it not only to meet the principals, the executive directors of the service providers of the 60 or 70 key private agencies. By the way, you just pick up the phone, tell them you're on the Orange County Veteran Advisory Council, and you got a meeting with the president of those agencies, because they want to know what's going on with the county. The county is the elephant in the room. The county is a $6.5 billion business with 18,000 employees. I mean, it's a significant organization, and you guys represent that organization to this leadership, and I hope you take advantage of it. So I just want to say that the council has power. The council has an opportunity to serve the veterans in this community, and I hope you continue to use that opportunity to make things happen within the community, because we got things done, you can get things done as well, and we can serve that population that we're interested in, the veterans. Veterans help veterans, let's face it. We're a small percentage of the total population. And you need to leverage the membership on this council in order to help the agencies that are serving veterans get things done. Thank you.
Thank you, Chase. I saw you sign a paper. Did you sign, did you want to speak?
Yes, please.
Okay, let me have your paper. Please. Or did you put it in the box?
Yeah, I put it in the box.
Okay, follow directions. Sorry about that. What a concept. Is there anything else in the box over there? Is there a check? Okay.
Yeah, that's a check.
Thank you, sir.
Hello, my name is Bill Stroud, and my colleague is Bernie Click here, and we're both veterans and served overseas anyway, but we're with United Healthcare, and United Healthcare asked us to come today, and I think, is there an Eric? Is Eric?
There's a couple Erics. There's an Eric here, and there's an Eric there. Eric Inslee?
Eric Inslee, yeah.
Right there.
Okay. Well, did you talk to Patty Skoma with United Healthcare? I don't know, because your name came up. See, I'm sort of here. We were asked to come and represent, and what it is, and we're talking about for the veterans, we're talking about people on Medicare, in other words, 65 and above. Not, and because a lot of the veterans, well, not everybody's fortunate enough to have TRICARE, as we know. And so there's a lot of veterans that, have, just regular VA benefits, but they can also have private, through companies like United Healthcare and other facilities as well. And because they can, and so I'm here tonight just to find out more about it and how we, United Healthcare, could help veterans get the right if they're not getting the type of coverage they have. And we're talking about programs that are what we call advantage plans, which has no premiums, and so it's not costly, and they're very good. I'm on one. Bernie's too young to be on it yet, anyway, that's why I'm here, just to see how, if there's any way we can help. And of course, United Healthcare is the fifth largest company in the world. There's only four companies larger than United Healthcare. It's Apple, Walmart, Microsoft, and Amazon. And then the fifth is United Healthcare. We're operational in all 50 states. And so we're very big here in Orange County. Well, all over. I mean, we contract with all the hospitals and everything. So anyway, that's just if someone... We're to leave our cards over and answer any questions you might have about how we might help our veterans. Thank you.
Okay. Is there anybody else that needs to speak to the public comments? Hearing none, public comments, so the portion of the meeting is closed. We'll move on to the next section, item number 6. Under the Executive Committee report, we have an action item. Right now, I'm supposed to, according to the bylaws, appoint a nominating committee and also get ready for, so that they would have for us in the month of June, a slate that we can approve, or individuals can run for chair or vice chair. so that they will take over in whoever they are in July. So I'm going to appoint. Who am I going to appoint? Let's see. I'm going to appoint Carl David to be the ad hoc committee chair for the for nominating committee. And then what you could do, sir, if you decide you want to pick one or two other individuals to help you on your ad hoc committee, you may do that.
Okay.
But what we'd like for you to do is we're looking for nominations for chair and vice chair. That's where we are. So you got that, sir?
Got it.
Okay.
Is there a process in the bylaws?
The process in the bylaws will come to the meeting and we'll vote on it.
Okay.
Okay. We'll vote on each one individually, each thing individually. So.
And the point is just to let everybody know that if you would are interested in any position, chair or vice chair, please contact me personally. And then if I can't handle it myself, then I'll get someone else involved. And
okay.
We can do the vetting and that sort of thing. So
okay.
If anyone is interested, contact me personally. Okay.
Okay. That's all I have for the executive committee report. Item number 7, Orange County Veterans and Military Family Collaborative update. Yeah.
Can I ask something?
Sure. Before we move on, yeah. What would you like to ask?
You're supposed to be at Huntington Beach. Now we're here. Did I miss something? Why it was moved? Can I ask that question? Or we go to other comments for that?
No, you can ask that question.
Can I ask you?
You can, sure.
All right, well, why did we supposed to be at Huntington, now we're here?
Let's put it this way. The simple reason is there was some confusion. Chase had set the place up.
Okay.
And he had left on going on vacation. He had spoken to Dave here in regards to having a meeting there. And evidently, when Dave made the call to the person at the Huntington Beach American Legion, and I don't believe if I understand it correctly, he didn't get back to you, or he never responded.
What I was told was that there was a change in direction and the way that the fifth floor for Orange County wanted the meetings held. Okay, so now the meetings, instead of bouncing around the county, will be held in a central location. They won't be held in the, correct me if I'm wrong, Eric, but they're not going to be held during the evening anymore. They're going to be held during the day as well, and it might not be Wednesday. So there are additional changes that are going to be coming, but again, we were responding to the direction that we received from the fifth floor.
From the chairman of the OC Board of Supervisors, Lisa Bartlett?
Yes. The supervisors for the county.
But we're going to talk
about. Did I work for her? I mean,
no, but we're going to talk about
me.
It in a few minutes.
Okay.
When we
okay.
get to Eric here.
All right.
But anyway, that was.
That's the reason.
That was the back part of it, but
all
there
right.
was some things and that caused it. So Renee
you
and a few
bring
other.
That up. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So there's some other changes going to be made. That's the reason why you got something else.
Gotcha.
So thank you.
Okay.
Thank
yep.
you. All right. Moving right along to Carl.
Yep. The collaborative update.
Yep.
Yeah, basically, if you didn't get a chance to go, you really should. It was quite an event, and everybody was able to kind of get to see the depth and the breadth of the collaborative. And there was a special presentation. Susan Price was absolutely outstanding about the efforts in Orange County to take on the homeless situation, and it was just superb. We got a lot of good information, a lot of exchanging of ideas, I guess there's going to come out a report from it, and we can provide that as an update, an addendum to the minutes. Eric, go ahead.
How did you find out about the meeting?
Me personally?
Yeah. I'm just curious, because I had no idea there was a meeting.
Really? Because it's... goes
there?
Out, it's blasted out, isn't it?
I think
blasted it, out to
I think at the last meeting
and
we mentioned that it was the 8th. I think that's when I put it on the calendar.
I'm going to get you on the listserv for the collaborative. So sign up for the listserv.
That's the other thing, is I was added at the last minute to the listserv.
Got it.
But if you,
that's what I wanted
if
to
go
but
on.
If I should have, I'm remiss in not sending that out, so.
Let's do this. Let's see how you rep. Would you make sure that everybody's
yep.
on there? All the new guys.
On
new guys on the block are on there.
Yep.
That's it. Should have been
exactly.
Okay.
Do you know when the next meeting is?
Then in 4 months.
September.
It's a quarter.
Yo, Tom.
Wow. I have some flyers for the collaborative in my car. I'll go grab and bring in and give the council.
Well, that's fine.
That's fine,
but I think the bottom line here is making sure everybody's name's on the list.
It's October 2nd is the next meeting.
Yep.
It's 8:30 check-in for breakfast, and the location is to be determined.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a breakfast type of thing. 8:30 and then 9. So.
What's the date again? Sorry.
October 2nd, 2019.
But we will make sure you're on the list now.
Yep.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah, and okay. I'll get as much out. I'll put that on the street, so.
Put you part of the collaborative.
I know when it comes to the collaborative, that when you go out to their website and try to submit to become a member, none of that works.
Yeah, I think it's a closed. Yeah, you mean just a general membership?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll give that feedback then.
Huh?
David.
The website's not working.
I know they're working on it.
They were talking about working on it today.
They're currently in the process of updating. We had to change the domain, and we have people working on that
update. Very good. Thank you. Also, if I may add, Carl, there was a PowerPoint presentation that Susan Price put out that was pretty healthy and pretty impressive. A key point, I don't want to get too deep into it, but a key point was what they decided to do was, instead of going city by city with the point and count chase, if you will, to look at and find all of them, they've divided it into three different sections. So they've got the north, the south, and the central, and they're using all of, they're going into groups to go into each one of those groups, into that category, into those sections, to try and find veterans, homeless veterans, and those veterans that are on the street. And she broke it down real, real nice, and she is going to be sending the PowerPoint to Jeff Pagano. One of the things Chase didn't mention was that UC Irvine now is we have a paid convener that's working for the collaborative, and he headquarters out of UC Irvine. So he is going to get the information and send it out. So as soon as I get it, I'll get it over to Carl, and we'll get it out to all of you. All right, so you'll have a copy of it. But it's pretty impressive, and it talks about the different areas and the different areas where and what are sheltered, what were unsheltered, and some other little things. So, I mean, I can't go too deep into it because I don't have it in front of me, but we'll get that out to you. I made a note already to get you the PowerPoint.
Okay. Yeah, in fact, the housing folks, the consortium's housing subcommittee mentioned the 332 that are in Orange County and how they're broken out. So there's some very specific data in that PowerPoint. I took some pictures of a couple of the slides, and I was going to send those out.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as I get the whole PowerPoint, then it might be a little more informative and kind of understand rather than the couple of slides that I captured.
Okay. Any more questions for me? All right. Moving right along to the Orange County Veterans Service Office update. Eric Ensley, Supervising Veterans Claims Representative.
So I'll provide as much of an update as I can as
okay.
I know it to regarding the meeting schedule changes. So
no problem. You've got the high seat.
All right. As I understand it, so the changes came about because the county direction wanted to be more consistent with the rest of the county advisory committees that they're currently having, which I believe are happening during working hours, during the normal county business hours. There was a survey monkey that went out from all of this body in regards to what worked best. I think what we don't know at this point is what those times are going to be until we get all of those responses back from all of the members. But as far as I can tell, it was based on the county's shift in direction to make sure all of the advisory committees are meeting during normal business hours on the county.
Okay.
So I don't have a whole lot more details. Renee, I don't think we've gotten those responses, so as soon as we get those back, I think Renee is going to be able to respond more directly as to what that shift was.
So she didn't give you the when we filled out the survey last week?
Yes, because we don't have all the responses back
Wow.
from all the members just yet.
All right.
So once that's been returned, it is.
Okay, I got sent mine.
Okay.
Okay.
Go ahead.
As far as other updates, we haven't had all of our numbers. All of our numbers.
Is that you?
That we no, that's not me.
Okay.
All of our numbers that we normally present during this session, we do have some of the numbers, mostly the number of veterans served. We've had a lot this past month that is still trying to tally because of the way the changes in law have impacted how claims are filed with the federal VA. But as it stands right now, we have we served 244 driver's license verifications for the county. We did a total of 1,267 claims activities for the month. We received 1,046 phone calls into our office last month. And I'm pretty sure those numbers are going to be much higher this coming month. Our wait times have gone up. We're averaging 101 minutes. But again, that is also a testament to the increased volume of people coming into our office seeking services of some type. We processed about 40 college fee waiver requests, and at our outstation locations, we served 24 veterans and their families in those areas. Again, at the next meeting, I'll have more of a consistent number for the total of veterans served. I'm pretty sure it's been much higher than it's been in previous years.
Any questions for
me?
So, will we get the hit sheet next month?
Yes.
Okay.
You'll have them both next month.
Okay.
And really, the only thing that's missing is how many the office total can probably deduct what those numbers are. But I'm still telling a whole bunch more that came in the office for ancillary services, not necessarily claims.
Do we still have the job positions being closed, or two of them, I think?
Yes, so I can't give an update on that. So a job offer went out through three of our candidates. One accepted, two declined their offers. I can't say one of those persons that was offered the job was someone who worked for me in Oregon. But she did decline the offer, as well as the other candidates. So we're interviewing our second round of applicants this week. In fact, today and tomorrow. So we should have finalize that by the end of this week. Hopefully in the near future, before June, we'll have a full complement of staff for the service office for our town.
For those new employees, how long does it take to be trained so that they can provide full service?
So my plan and strategy is work for new service officers, claims reps. They'll have 2 weeks of training with me, all right. Then there'll be another couple of weeks of shadowing for an assessment. And then it usually takes a few months before they're ready to actually start transaction claims activity. But it really depends on the individual. You know, as much in motivation as they have to learn the law, strategically trying to apply the law is something else. So those being able to shadow the season. Service officers that we do have in the office, it drastically enhances that learning. But before they can actually become accredited, I'd say about 4 months to 180 days. But to truly be proficient at this work, 18 months. That is a customary standard. And it, as you all know, the VA is very challenged and intricate in a lot of things, and with the new change in law surrounding the appeals management process, it had an impact on how claims are submitted. So we're seeing a lot of folks who were impacted by that change in law in February who are coming into the office asking a lot of questions, which is why we don't have the concrete numbers, because we really need to assess what that service looked like and how we deliver the service as far as the appeals.
A follow on, if I can.
Sure.
The accreditation you say is 4 to 6 months, but so they can still do waivers and do things like that before they get accredited?
Or yes, they, and a lot of that is a lot of the administrative detail. I think if they understand how college fee waiver process works, that's an easy manual. The driver's license verification, that's something that's easy.
Right.
The law piece is the one that takes up everything, because really the nuances surrounding how to approach it is very individualized for each individual person seeking the benefit, and we just don't know. And trying to have an understanding on how to apply the law is how to really get someone connected to the greatest benefits sought. And it's all benefits sought in that regard, whether it's state, county, or federal. We want to make sure that they have the information so that they can also make an informed choice on how to approach their particular claim, but also being able to convey the information necessary for the service officer to be that advocate at the highest level that they possibly can. I think overall, the 2 weeks, 2 week training plan I have is really focused on strategy and understanding the applications of law, as opposed to filling out this form. The forms are just one nuance of VA.
And I have one different subject. On the schedule of meetings and that sort of thing, will we have a moment where Renee comes back to us and we have a discussion, or will it just be we're going to meet this day, this hour, this monthly thing? Is it prescriptive, or will we have any input other than a little form?
I don't have the answer to that. I think if you...
It would be recommended. Maybe I'm asking the question, rhetorical question, and hoping that, because I put in that daytimes are difficult for me because I have a full-time job. So, therefore, it's going to impact me considerably. And if we don't get a chance to have that discussion, who it affects and what it's going to do to the makeup of the council, then it really would behoove us not to just be told that we're going to meet on this day, because it may just be impossible. So I would take it back, if you wouldn't mind, that to have a discussion before it goes to a directive, as opposed to, and I don't want to preempt the chair, and
no,
maybe
no,
you were
fine.
Thinking
you,
that.
You,
but
you speak to my...
that. I responded directly to her. I told her that the work, that's during working hours for me, too.
Right.
So it's going to be extremely difficult to make those times.
I make time for the consortium meetings and other meetings that I can make. But to have a set time that's during the workday is very difficult, and it's also going to be difficult to get veterans to us that also have jobs or those kind of things. So I think it would be worth a full-fledged discussion from all of us and given our input, if that's possible, rather than just an input form.
I can take that question.
Super.
Back.
Thanks.
Okay. Did everybody, not to point anybody out, let's put it this way. If you haven't turned... Your slip in, get it done, please. Okay, get it done before Friday.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, I know we're all busy, but this is impactful. Okay, because I know she sent it out last week, and then she sent another note saying, please get it in. So if there's still some people that haven't turned it in, then get it in, please. Okay, because it's our council, and your input counts.
Got it.
All right?
Yes, sir.
And if there's going to be some changes, we may have the ability to change it, but it has to be a group thing to make a change. Because as of right now, it's coming down from Renee's boss, okay, which came down from the Board of Supervisors. All right, so that's where this is. So it's not something we just made up or Renee made up or Eric made up.
Right.
This is the way it's been flowed from some comments that came by. So this is where it is. Okay. All right. Any other questions for Eric? Moving right along, OC for Vets. Hi, Kevin.
Hello. Let's see. This month has been an interesting month. We were impacted by injury and illness with staff, so we were short staffed this month. We saw 121 veterans this month, which is less than we were seeing before. The main issue is staffing and limitations with our staffing this month. Hopefully, all the health issues have been resolved and the staff's good to go. I still have one clinical position that is open after the retirement should be going to recruitment shortly. It's moving through the final processes of the review before it goes into recruitment. So you can see that moving in hopefully within the next week or two into recruitment. Then I can start interviews and find someone fantastic. The team has, we've done a couple outreach events within the community over the past month. There was the event at Los Alamitos for children and families, the Monument Children and Family Guidance Center. That was fantastic. There were over 300 families in attendance. It was a great event. And then on the same day, we were at Patriots and Paws and engaging the community there too. So our goal is to keep us visible, make sure that veterans know we're here to provide support for them and their families, and make sure they're connected to the available resources.
Very good. Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
The inimitable Ben Gales, Cal Vet Link update.
All right, thanks. So I think at the last meeting I briefed you on some of the issues we report out at the Cal Vet Leadership Summit, which happened last month in San Diego. It was a great summit. What I actually noted this morning at the big collaborative meeting was how well represented Orange County was at that event. We actually, in the breakout sessions, had more presentations coming from Orange County than any other county total. So that we had presentations from our Strong Families, Strong Children Collaborative, from Operation Deep Dive, which is a veteran suicide prevention project, from Veterans Legal Institute, and then Support the Enlisted Project, which has a big presence in Orange County. So that's pretty good, you know. A lot of innovative work coming out of OC right now. And so it was a good event. Bob was there. We had good representation. I think the big thing going on right now is UC Irvine and the Collaborative. And, it's a big deal. They've invested in hiring a full-time program manager, for the Collaborative. We saw this morning at the general meeting that there were a number of staff from UCI there, development staff, law school staff, senior leadership of different types. And so they're very invested. And I think it'll be helpful for this council to have briefings, and Carl, I can work with you to the extent that I'm able, because it is my day job. Go to certain meetings and the steering committee meetings, and Bob's at that too. But to be aware of what's happening there, upcoming is actually a full day of strategic planning for the Collaborative. That every member of the steering committee will be at UCI on May 31st for a full day, and UCI is bringing in a facilitator for this event, and that's a big deal. And I think a lot will come out of that. And the website is a big part of that. And I think coordination, there was a lot of discussion about events and the website at the last meeting. And the plan for the new website, which I know there's a lot of talk of, when is the website coming? But the website is coming. And I think there's a vision that we're going to have a well-organized presentation of what services there are for veterans. We're going to have an opportunity for veterans to request assistance through the website. And then also a comprehensive listing of events related to veterans that are going to be happening in Orange County. So I think that should be really pretty good. Other than that, housing was the big focus today. In terms of the numbers, I think it's interesting to know that we have over 300 available HUD-VASH vouchers in Orange County, and we have about 125 units of permanent supportive housing that will be coming. By those numbers, we actually have more housing than we have veterans that are homeless on the find name list. The tricky part of that, the exception, is that doesn't cover veterans that aren't eligible for VA. So those with negative discharges, OTH, bad conduct dishonorable, can't benefit from those programs. And that's going to be the more complicated issue. And hopefully with Susan Price, we'll do something about that. That's something historically the county needs to deal with. And the federal can't deal with that. They have their requirements. That's something the county will need to deal with. And then finally, Bobby and I, we had a talk with Appellate Justice Eileen Moore, who was there today.
Yes.
And she's great. She's a veteran. She was a medic.
Yeah, she was a nurse, yeah.
She's a nurse, yeah.
Vietnam.
And she's a mentor, I've been a longtime mentor for the Orange County Veterans Treatment Corps. And she actually asked us today to mention initiative that she's trying to push for. actually, if there's anything that I've had more exposure to in my career, it's veterans and criminal justice. That was actually my past before I joined CalVet, about 5 years at that top, so I'm very invested in that area. And you know, the idea of that form, and she, her goal is to make this form mandatory. And the idea of the form is that it's given to every person coming into the criminal justice system and asks you if you serve in the military. And then the importance of that is if you say yes, you can be eligible for certain alternative sentencing statutes that are state statutes. Okay, one is 1170.9 of the Penal Code, and the other is 1001.8. The difference is one is what they call post-conviction, and the other is pre-plea. It's, you know, not really super relevant for this forum, I don't think. But the main point is, if you don't know about these statutes, you can't use them. And so, you know, veterans who commit crimes and it's found that it's connected to a mental health issue are eligible for alternative sentencing. Okay, so instead of going to jail, they can get treatment, and that's really important. And so a lot of veterans have gone to jail, you know, and they've had mental health issues underlying, you know, their criminal conduct. And so the idea of this, if this goes forward, it's going to increase the chances that a veteran is going to be able to be identified as a veteran. And then they can hopefully use these statutes, which in my past, I did a good number of trainings for public defender's offices and whatnot. People just don't even know these statutes exist. And so that's very common. If you go into a room and you, you know, talk to a group of lawyers, you know, maybe 20% will know that the statutes are there. So anyway, I think she's trying to garner support for it, wanted us to mention it, and so we got it on the table.
Okay. What was that statute?
Yeah, the statutes are 1170.9 of the Penal Code. That covers felonies and misdemeanors, and then 1001.80, which is a misdemeanor pre-plea statute. So you can actually have kind of literally nothing on your record if you're eligible for that statute, just for misdemeanors. And then her form that she's trying to advance is called the MIL-100. Okay, that's the key that she's trying to push for, is the usage of this form. And they, I guess they tried in the past and it was not successful, and they're trying again.
What is that supposed to be, MIL-100?
It's a judicial form.
A judicial form?
Yeah, it's a judicial court form that would become mandatory in the court system, the criminal court system.
Okay. And this gal, she's an appellate court judge?
She was, yeah. She's a justice.
The girl, she had the little bow tie or something.
Yeah. Red, white, and blue.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with her.
Okay.
She looked tough.
She also mentioned feedback to the justices on judicial reform or something.
Yeah, so an opportunity to provide feedback.
Yeah.
Is that what she was
saying? Yeah, I didn't get the whole gist of that, how we tap into that to make comments.
Yeah.
You know, to be honest, that's not entirely clear to me either, you know, where exactly you do that. Bobby, do you remember what she said about that? Can you go online?
Go online and do some comment?
Yeah. She said some, but she didn't. She didn't. It wasn't up on the screen to write it down, but we could get it.
What was her name?
Yeah.
Justice Eileen Moore?
Eileen Moore.
But I'll try and find out that and see if I can
she didn't
get that
it,
comment.
She mentioned it,
because it'd be good for us to weigh
and
in.
It, and if necessary, maybe one of the meetings she can be our guest speaker to talk about.
Yeah,
sure.
We can do that.
She's very active.
Yeah, we can do that.
And I'll take you up on your offer.
Yeah.
Thank you, sir. Okay. Any more questions? Go ahead, sure.
During this meeting, has there been any mention about the DA public defenders also being a part of this collaboration to try and merge, because most of our veterans who are potential justice involved aren't able to afford an attorney to help them argue some issues, especially when there's mental health or some other underlying disability disabling position involved. Having those folks at the table.
That's a fantastic idea. And we used to do that in LA, and we should clearly be doing that.
The only thing we've done with legislators, everything's been through VLI, so, you know, which has been, just helped over 5,000 veterans, you know, so, but that's a good point.
District attorney leadership, aware of what's going on in the veteran community.
Because we've got a district, we have a district attorney that's pro-veterans.
Right. And the sheriff. I mean,
okay.
Most of the veterans are going to
the are actively involved in diversion programs for
They are?
The problem with the system as it's set up, and I've been down this road, is we have these veterans treatment courts, right? And they're great, and they're specialty courts where veterans can come in and get diversion, and we have a lot of service providers that are involved in them. But the truth is they only help a subset of the total number of veterans in the criminal justice system. So if you're not connected to one of the courts, then, you know, if you're just in a regular court, I don't know what the percentages are in Orange County, but in LA, there were, I mean, you might have had 5% or 10% of the total veterans population, you know, connected to the veterans court. Mm-hmm. So you can't just, everyone says, oh, veterans courts, you know, that's not the total solution. There needs to be a broader connection to the systems, and you need public defender and DA leadership, you know, aware of what's going on in general.
Yeah, but the Orange County Bar Association, it has a big veterans group. They have a veterans committee that's pretty strong. I mean, I bring that up because that's probably something they could help us with this other piece. But I know that they're very, very supportive, and they're supportive of VLI. Yeah. But good notes, good comments. Anything else? Okay, moving right along. Communications report, Mr. David Hall.
Yeah, don't have a lot to report other than... I appreciate David Hahn providing a VEER report. If you weren't at the last meeting, we talked about a veteran event activity report. I called it a VEER, and I handed out hard copies. But I have recently sent, and I was wanting feedback to before I finalized it, and I got none. So it must have been the best form that I've ever created.
One of the best.
So yeah, exactly. So I gave it to Eric. And just today, and he'll fire it out to you. So when you do attend an event, that you can provide some kind of feedback, as much as you can get on that sheet of paper. And if there's pictures and that sort of thing, just attach them as a file and send it back to me, and I'll start to compile that, and then we'll be able to capture all the activities everybody does. So thank you, David, publicly for making the first one. Other than I was the first and you were the second, so we're already on the road. So
it's a David thing,
yeah exactly. Yeah. But Eric can send that out as with the minutes and that sort of thing when we're done after this. Any questions yet for me? No. Okay.
Transfer over.
All right,
David Hall, Events Committee.
For the Communications Committee, I created a Google Share file and sent it out to all the members of the council. I don't know if everyone has had a chance to take a look at it. So like I said, it's a cloud-based file. It's out on the Google Share. So as I make updates and as I get event information, I put it into the spreadsheet, and then everybody can see it. So everyone should have the latest updated schedule of events instantaneously. As soon as I make the change, you have it. All right, so there's no, I won't be sending it back out because you already have it.
Cloud.
Okay, but if you get any notifications of events, if there's an event coming up, you get a flyer such as these, send them to me and then I add them. Okay, and as much information as on the flyers or that you can provide me is what goes into the spreadsheet, so hopefully it'll be a useful and valuable tool.
I had a brief question. How have you talked to Eric about how we can get that uploaded or link maybe on the website?
Not yet.
The OC doc. Yeah, it would be nice if we can link to that Google page that says see the events, and then it's all automated. So because he's done good work there, and if we can just add a link, that way you don't have to upload that word list and all that kind of extra work. It makes it simple. So if we can. Then the communication is out there for everybody.
Yeah, I was going to say,
okay.
County might not allow that.
Yeah, we're still waiting on a response from the regarding.
Oh, really?
Because it hurt to ask.
Okay.
Yeah, but it can go right into we already have a calendar on there.
Yeah.
We have a calendar. I mean, it just wouldn't be that detailed, but I mean, it's just something we. Anyway.
So if it does become an issue, we can work
it's a county issue.
You know, I can take it. A snapshot in time and then send it.
And then he can just post it.
All you need to do is give him access, and then he has access to all the events, and they're the ones that are editing that calendar.
He has access to that.
The calendar that, at least if I hit the right link off the OC Veterans Advisory Council page, that was just linked to a Word doc.
A Word doc.
Is that right?
Right.
Yeah, yeah it was. It was just a Word list.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So, we can adjust as need be. But It's not that hard.
Yeah.
Okay. It works.
It works.
Okay. Council comments. Mr. Richard.
Not tonight. Unusual, isn't it?
I was waiting for the pitch. I was waiting for the pitch on the prime rib, but okay.
Well,
I started it.
Don't get them going.
Okay, but anyway, thank you. Appreciate it. Okay, Eric.
Friday is, as I mentioned before the meeting, Friday May 10th is Military Spouse Appreciation Day. So, for what it's worth,
okay,
go appreciate them.
We shall.
Find a spouse and appreciate her. Huh?
Oh, yeah. Your own, hopefully.
Okay. Dale?
I don't know. Thank you.
Okay. David?
Nothing else, sir.
Okay. Carl?
I'd encourage you to get to me quickly if you're interested in the chair or the vice chair position, and let me know just a personal email or telephone call, or I'll stay here and we can go into the bathroom and talk privately. Whatever. I do have a problem, though, looking at the calendar for June 12th for the next meeting. That conflicts with the meeting for Region 8 on June 12th, if it's a day meeting.
If it's a day meeting.
If it's a day meeting, then we start to get into all kind of conflicts.
So,
saying,
okay,
that if that meeting might be conflicted and we won't be able to attend the other meetings that we should be attending.
As they say it in the old school, we'll cross that bridge when we
get got it. But that's when I present the slate from the nominating committee.
Okay. You kind, sir?
I attended Patriots and Paul's annual golf tournament Monday. And the 11th hole, if you get a hole in one, you get a brand new Audi, and I came that close.
Oh.
It looked like it was going in, but.
I
got a little trophy instead, closer to the pin. But Patriots Paws, they're in their new warehouse. They're really doing good. I used to be on their board. I stepped down January 1st when I became mayor of Mission Viejo, but I still support them. And Penny Lambright, who's the founder, she's a great gal. And today's 74th anniversary of VE Day, Victory in Europe, May 8th, 1945. That's all I got.
A couple things, and I'll get you out of here. One of the things that from the Government Affairs Committee, that Government Relations Committee, that came out, actually we had like five or six legislators or legislative aides at the function, including the mayor of Mission Viejo.
Yeah.
Soon
to be up.
Yeah. But anyway, so we had that. And one of the pieces we were talking about, the military the military service members and legal assistants, and Cottie Petrie Norris, Assemblywoman from the 74th District, has Assembly Bill 558, which is... you take a look at it, Mr. Mayor. Just briefly, the AB 558 would expand on current pro bono programs for veterans to include active duty members and their families. The bill would greatly increase the accessibility of pro bono legal services to a community of active duty service members and their families in need of legal assistance. Okay. So they asked me to mention that this morning. And that's one of the bills that she's putting forward with. That, again, that has that legal connotation that we had talked about a little earlier. Not directly with what the Justice Eileen Moore was talking about, but again, it has to do with military and helping them. The other thing I want to make mention is hopefully we have Memorial Day coming up weekend, 24th through the 27th. Hopefully each one of us will find something that weekend that we can be involved with, especially from us, to be with and get that information over to Carl, Carl David, so that we could put that in our year in review. It'd be nice to have us there.
Everybody
can get to one or do something at one of those events. I'm very fortunate. I am going to be speaking at the. I've been asked to speak at the Newport Harbor High School Memorial Day program on Friday the 24th. I'm doing a special veterans one in Long Beach on Saturday, And then Sunday, I'm going to be the over at Anaheim, at the Anaheim Cemetery with the VFW, the American Legion. So I just wanted you to know, I wouldn't ask you to do something I wouldn't do. So, I think it would be really, really sharp for us to do that, to continue that tradition of being out there in the community. All right? Other than that, yes, sir, go ahead.
You mentioned cemetery, and I forgot I was going to mention that AB 368. Do we have the supervisor's position on that? Because I don't know how much we can support and those sort of things as a council.
Well, what Chris was asking, as an individual,
yeah,
you can do anything you want to do. But as the Orange County Veterans Advisory Council, we cannot.
We can't.
We cannot.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
And the piece that he was talking about is that it's going to go into appropriations, and what he did mention is that they're trying to this bill, and what Sharon Kirk Soap is trying to do is get the state to pick up the tab on most of the cost of that. Okay.
Really?
Yes. Wow. Yes, and that was.
I didn't pick that up.
Well, you didn't pick it up because at the Orange County Australia Awards, Hispanic Australia Awards on Saturday night, I got part of that from Senator Tom Umberg. Okay, because we had a conversation about it.
Okay,
and it went different ways, but yeah. So I happen to know more than I need to know, but I do know that the bottom line is to try to pick up the whole tab on it. But I won't get into it deep. But I do think at some point in time we should bring the parties and other parties into to speak about it. But right now it's totally, totally up in Sacramento.
Got it.
So
thank you.
So it was a good heads up, but there's some other components to it.
Okay.
And with that,
I got one more thing.
Oh, go ahead.
Go
ahead.
I will be the keynote speaker at the El Toro Memorial Cemetery.
Good for you.
For their Memorial Day.
Okay.
And you reminded me, Assemblyman Bill Bro in my district has introduced legislation not to tax veterans' pensions, California bills.
Oh, yeah, oh, great.
So I can't see that passing, but hopefully somewhere in the future it might, but he's starting it. So the problem is, as people retire, yeah, veterans retire in California, they get the hell out of here to a state where you don't get taxed. So he's trying to keep them here in California. That's all I got except for us.
And yeah, you keynoted.
And again,
keynote.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it possible that all these Memorial Day events, is there a way to get all this? All that?
That's what I'm trying to capture.
Yeah.
So Orange County has a lot of them already posted, but
yes,
they haven't updated from last year. So
no, they'll be all over. I know that Fullerton has one. Fullerton has one.
Irvine has two, one on Newport. Saturday, or one on Sunday and one on Monday.
You're putting this in your list.
Yes. Yeah, he's capturing all of those.
Yeah, and I'll get you my
okay. Can I use your speech? I got to get my speech together.
Well, let's see. We have something in common. We both were in Vietnam. Okay, we were both on aircraft carriers.
Okay.
I got a chance to make the coffee for the officers.
There you go. I drank the coffee.
Maybe you want it. Anyway, thank you very kindly. Meeting's adjourned.
Very good. Thank you, Bobby.
Thank you, Bobby.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you, guys. I'll
okay,
catch you in the car.
Okay.
Because there's
something going on.
Yeah. I'll be. No, I won't
be
here.
Not beating you up, Eric.
But I know about it. You need to go to that.
Yeah.
I do. No.